Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to Captain.
Join Jan Shaw and her guests as they discuss cosmic creating and the path to reclaiming our power as cosmic creators.
Library computer, data being received.
To go where too few have gone before. A production of Cosmic Reality Radio.
Hello and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. Today is the 26th of September 2020. My name is Jan Shaw, known as the Success Alchemist. You can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net and thewebalchemist.net and on Facebook and YouTube, Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist, and on Twitter at Coach Jan Shaw. Well, what a week. I'm amazed at how much information has come out this week, so I have lots to share with you. And the title of this week's show is Big Boom Week, Biden, Flynn, Clinton, Judgment is Coming. And I want to start with what X22 Report has termed Anonymous Intelligence Insider, which refers to the organization with the 17th letter of the alphabet. There have been a lot of drops this week, and I want to go back to one that was from last Saturday, the 19th, well after the last show had finished. This was at 11:53 p.m. Eastern Time, and it's got an image of the top of the Justice building. I'm not sure exactly which. It just says equal justice under the law in the just under the apex of the roof, carved in stone. And underneath it says September 21st to 25th, track and follow events running red. And running red, I understand, is a military term which basically means you're at battle stations, you're actually active. So it was a real hint as to what might be coming this week, and certainly we've had more than I think we expected. So I've got a lot to go over with you, and I'm going to start by just actually mentioning that there was an attempt on Trump's life when ricin was mailed to the White House, and thankfully it was intercepted, and it turned out to be a Canadian woman who was responsible for that. So, you know, these deranged people, they want to take Trump out. I think there's so much panic, whether she was paid to do this or whether she was just suffering Trump derangement syndrome, I don't know, but we've heard that there have been several attempts on his life since he came into office. So pray for him every night to keep him safe and the rest of the alliance. So the first thing I want to cover is the report that was released this week on Biden, and this is primarily Hunter Biden, and the Burisma scandal. So I'm going to start with an article by Gateway Pundit. This was published 23rd of September. Breaking: Senate Finance and Homeland Security Committees released devastating report on Hunter Biden, Burisma and corruption. Crooked Biden family enrich themselves and Obama knew. In March, Senator Ron Johnson told reporters that Senate Republicans are entering a new phase of their investigation into Joe and Hunter Biden and their ties to a corrupt Ukrainian natural gas company, Burisma. After leaving office in 2017, Vice President Joe Biden bragged about strong-arming the government of Ukraine to fire its top prosecutor. Joe Biden made the remarks during a meeting of foreign policy specialists. Biden said he, in quotes, threatened Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko in March 2016 that the Obama administration would pull $1 billion in U.S. loan guarantees, sending the former Soviet republic toward insolvency if it didn't immediately fire Prosecutor General Viktor Shokin. End quote. Biden suggested during his talk that Barack Obama was in on the threat. Reporter John Solomon later revealed what Biden did not tell his audience. Joe Biden had Shokin fired because he was investigating Joe Biden's son, Hunter. On Tuesday night, investigative reporter John Solomon told Lou Dobbs the Burisma investigation will be released in the next 24 hours. Incidentally, this article does have the clip of Joe Biden at the Council on Foreign Relations actually making that statement. The report by the Senate Finance and Homeland Security Committees was released this morning, and it is devastating. The report outlines the following key findings from the investigation. In early 2015, the former acting deputy chief of mission at the U.S. Embassy in Kiev, Ukraine, George Kent, raised concerns to officials in Vice President Joe Biden's office about the perception of a conflict of interest with respect to Hunter Biden's role on Burisma's board. Kent's concerns went unaddressed, and in September 2016, he emphasized in an email to his colleagues, "Furthermore, the presence of Hunter Biden on the Burisma board was very awkward for all U.S. officials pushing an anti-corruption agenda in Ukraine." In October 2015, senior State Department official Amos Hochstein raised concerns with Vice President Biden, as well as with Hunter Biden, that Hunter Biden's position on Burisma's board enabled Russian disinformation efforts and risked undermining U.S. policy in Ukraine. Although Kent believed that Hunter Biden's role on Burisma's board was awkward for all U.S. officials pushing an anti-corruption agenda in Ukraine, the committees are only aware of two individuals, Kent and former U.S. Special Envoy and Coordinator for International Energy Affairs, Amos Hochstein, who raised concerns to Vice President Joe Biden, that was Hochstein, or his staff, Kent. The awkwardness for Obama administration officials continued well past his presidency. Former Secretary of State John Kerry had knowledge of Hunter Biden's role on Burisma's board, but when asked about it at a town hall event in Nashua, New Hampshire, on December 8, 2019, Kerry falsely said, "I had no knowledge about any of that. None. No." Evidence to the contrary is detailed in Section 5. Former Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs, Victoria Nuland, testified that confronting oligarchs would send an anti-corruption message in Ukraine. Kent told the committees that Zlozhevsky was an odious oligarch. However, in December 2015, instead of following US objectives of confronting oligarchs, Vice President Biden's staff advised him to avoid commenting on Zlozhevsky and recommended he say, "I'm not going to get into naming names or accusing individuals." Hunter Biden was serving on Burisma's board, supposedly consulting on corporate governance and transparency. How ironic. When Zlozhevsky allegedly paid a $7 million bribe to officials serving under Ukraine's Prosecutor General, Vitaly Yerema, to shut the case against Zlozhevsky. Kent testified that this bribe occurred in December 2014, 7 months after Hunter joined Burisma's board, and after learning about it, he and the resident legal advisor reported this allegation to the FBI. Hunter Biden was a U.S. Secret Service protectee from January 29, 2009 to July 8, 2014. A day before his last trip as a protectee, Time published an article describing Burisma's ramped-up lobbying efforts to U.S. officials and Hunter's involvement in Burisma's board, Before ending his protective detail, Hunter Biden received Secret Service protection on trips to multiple foreign locations, including Moscow, Beijing, Doha, Paris, Seoul, Manila, Tokyo, Mexico City, Milan, Florence, Shanghai, Geneva, London, Dublin, Munich, Berlin, Bogota, Abu Dhabi, Nairobi, Hong Kong, Taipei, Buenos Aires, Copenhagen, Johannesburg, Brussels, Madrid, Mumbai, and Lake Como. Andriy Telezhenko, the Democrats' personification of Russian disinformation, met with Obama administration officials, including Elizabeth Zentos, a member of Obama's National Security Council, at least 10 times. A Democrat lobbying firm, Blue Star Strategies, contracted with Telezhenko from 2016 to 2017 and continued to request his assistance as recent as the summer of 2019. A recent news article detailed other extensive contacts between Telezhenko and Obama administration officials. In addition to the over $4 million paid by Burisma for Hunter Biden's and Archer's board memberships, Hunter Biden, his family, and Archer received millions of dollars from foreign nationals with questionable backgrounds. Archer received $142,300 from Kengis Rakishev of Kazakhstan, purportedly for a car, the same day Vice President Joe Biden appeared with Ukrainian Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk and addressed Ukrainian legislators in Kiev regarding Russia's actions in Crimea. Hunter Biden received a $3.5 million wire transfer from Elena Baturina, the wife of the former mayor of Moscow. Hunter Biden opened a bank account with Gongwin Dong to fund a $100,000 global spending spree with James Biden and Sarah Biden. Hunter Biden had business associations with Ye Yanming, Gongwen Dong, and other Chinese nationals linked to the Communist government and the People's Liberation Army. Those associations resulted in millions of dollars in cash flow. Hunter Biden paid non-resident women who are nationals of Russia or other Eastern European countries and who appear to be linked to an Eastern European prostitution or human trafficking ring. And there's a link to a copy of the full report. The article continues, more from the report via Byron York, and it's got a Section E conclusion. The records acquired by the committee show that Hunter Biden and his family were involved in a vast financial network that connected them to foreign nationals and foreign governments across the globe. Hunter Biden and Archer, in particular, formed significant and consistent financial relationships with the corrupt oligarch Mykola Zlochevsky during their time working for Burisma, and their firms made millions of dollars from that association while Joe Biden was vice president and the public face of the Obama administration's Ukraine policy. Rosemont Seneca Thornton, an investment firm co-founded by Hunter Biden, received $3.5 million in a wire transfer from Elena Baturina, who allegedly received illegal construction contracts from her husband, the former mayor of Moscow. Moreover, Archer's apparent receipt of money for a car from Kengis Rakishev of Kazakhstan while Vice President Biden was in Kiev is especially concerning in light of the timing. And finally, Biden and Archer's work with Chinese nationals connected to the communist regime illustrate the deep financial connections that accelerated while his father was vice president and continued after he left office. Biden and Archer found willing partners in Chinese nationals connected to the communist regime. Their work in China began at least in 2009 with the creation of Rosemont Seneca Partners, with Hines, Secretary of State John Kerry's stepson. Then, several years later, Biden and Archer formed BHR with Bohai Capital and received their business license approval in China shortly after Biden visited China with his father, Vice President Biden. Hunter Biden's connections and financial associations appear to have accelerated significantly after he associated himself with Ye Jianming, who had deep connections with the communist regime and PLA. However, that didn't seem to have any impact on Hunter Biden, who made millions from the relationship. Indeed, Hunter Biden and his family, to include James and Sarah Biden, associated with other Chinese nationals such as Gong Wendong. In one case, the three of them went on a $100,000 global spending spree after Gong Wendong and Hunter Biden opened a joint account. In addition, Hunter Biden received millions of dollars over a period of years from Gong Wendong's companies. According to records acquired by the committee, many of these transactions involved potential criminal financial activity. The report, the article continues with the conclusion from the report, which are pages 86 and 87. I'm just going to read a portion of these with the key points. As the chairman's report details, Hunter Biden's role on Burisma's board negatively impacted the efforts of dedicated career service individuals who were fighting to push for anti-corruption measures in Ukraine. Because the vice president's son had a direct link to a corrupt company and its owner, State Department officials were required to maintain situational awareness of Hunter Biden's association with Burisma. Unfortunately, US officials had no other choice but to endure the awkwardness of continuing to push an anti-corruption agenda in Ukraine while the vice president's son sat on the board of a Ukrainian company with a corrupt owner. As George Kent testified, he, in quotes, would have advised any American not to get on the board of Zlochevsky's company, end quote. Yet even though Hunter Biden's position on Burisma's board cast a shadow over the work of those advancing anti-corruption reforms in Ukraine, the committees are only aware of two individuals who raised concerns to their superiors. Despite the efforts of these individuals, their concerns appear to have fallen on deaf ears. Former Secretary Kerry's December 2019 denial of having any knowledge about Hunter Biden or Burisma is inconsistent with the evidence uncovered by the committees. Kerry was briefed about Hunter Biden, Burisma and Christopher Hines the day after Burisma announced Hunter Biden joined its board. Additionally, Secretary Kerry's senior advisor sent him press clips and articles relating to Hunter Biden's board membership. This appears to be yet another example of high-ranking Obama administration officials blatantly ignoring Hunter Biden's association with Burisma. Several witnesses highlighted efforts to enable a successful investigation of Zlochevsky and also noted that the US decision to condition a $1 billion loan guarantee was made in part because of the then Ukrainian prosecutor general's failure to pursue a case against Zlochevsky. But at the end of the day, between 2014 through 2017, despite the concerted effort of many US officials, not one of the three different Ukrainian prosecutor generals held Zlochevsky accountable. I find it hugely ironic that the impeachment of Trump was based on an accusation of a quid pro quo, when all along it was Joe Biden who issued the quid pro quo relating to the firing of the prosecutor. So it's interesting now, the timing of this coming out, of course, while Joe Biden is running for president. And I've seen a couple of interviews where he's been asked about this report and he either gets angry or he's in complete denial that there was any conflict of interest or any corruption at all. But we shall see, because we have news that Senator Rand Paul is to send the report on Hunter Biden to the DOJ for possible criminal probe. And this was published on September 24th, and it's on the Epoch Times. Senator Rand Paul, Republican from Kentucky, said he plans to send the joint Senate report on Hunter Biden to the Department of Justice so lawyers there can review it for potential criminal activity. I think riding on Air Force Two and doing business is illegal. I think that is against the law and probably a felony. I think it's illegal to take money from a Russian politician's wife. $3.5 million. Was it reported accurately? Paul said during an appearance on Fox News The Story on Wednesday. I think the only way to determine the actual legality of this is to have it referred to the Department of Justice. So I'm going to send the report over. I don't know if the whole committee will vote for it, but I'm sending the report tomorrow to the Department of Justice and we're asking for a criminal referral. Paul is a member of the Senate Homeland Security and Government Oversight Committee. The committee and the Senate Finance Committee jointly investigated the actions of Hunter Biden, 50, during the time Biden's father, Joe Biden, was vice president and heading US efforts to reform Ukraine. Biden is now the Democratic presidential nominee. The interim report released Wednesday by the committee showed Hunter Biden engaged in questionable financial transactions with associates and foreign individuals, including the wife of the former mayor of Moscow and people with ties to the Chinese Communist Party. Requests for comments sent to a lawyer who represented Hunter Biden during his Arkansas paternity case and the Biden campaign weren't immediately returned. Biden campaign spokesman Andrew Bates described the investigation as subsidizing a foreign attack against the sovereignty of our elections with taxpayer dollars, an attack founded on a long disproven hardcore right-wing conspiracy theory that hinges on Senator Ron Johnson himself being corrupt, and that the senator has now explicitly stated he is attempting to exploit to bail out Donald Trump's re-election campaign. Of course, you know, they're bound to attack this report as a conspiracy theory because it's the only way they can defend themselves. Continuing, Johnson chairs the Government Oversight Committee. Johnson has said the investigation into the Bidens and the counterintelligence probe known as Crossfire Hurricane would certainly help Donald Trump win re-election and certainly be pretty good, I would say, evidence about not voting for Vice President Biden. Paul said on Fox that government lawyers will be the ones deciding whether to pursue charges against Hunter Biden. We want to see if there's a criminal investigation that's justified. Here's this evidence, look at it. You're the lawyers for the government. You decide if you have enough to prosecute. But I think we should refer this for a criminal investigation. I just want to pick out a couple of the letter 17 drops. And the first one is from the 23rd of September, number 4742. And it's a link to a tweet by John Solomon, who is the owner of Just the News. Breaking: Senate report slams Biden's for conflicts of interest, flags possible criminal activity. GOP-led investigation cites evidence of Burisma bribe, suspicious foreign money transfers and sex trafficking. Just the News. And underneath, it says political leaders, and in square brackets and bold, plus family follow, with possible ties to sex trafficking. Attacks, barrage by media signify what? Sex trafficking, safeguarding women and children, topics that unite all political factions against a common enemy. Faith in humanity, ? Those you are taught to trust the most. And then, interestingly, a little further on, let me find the drop. This was, again, the 23rd. It's a screenshot of John Solomon's account being temporarily suspended. So it's more censorship of the news coming out that's not very beneficial to the Democrat Party and the deep state. That's drop 4752. And then going back to the one I just read, which was drop 4742, we have 4743 that just says crimes against humanity. So then when we go to drop 4748, we have a link to a New York Post article, and it is Senate report links Hunter Biden to prostitution or human trafficking ring. And it says Hunter Biden allegedly sent thousands of dollars to people who appear to be involved in the sex industry, according to Wednesday's report released by Senate Republicans. The report claims unspecified records show that Biden has sent funds to non-resident alien women in the United States who are citizens of Russia and Ukraine and who have subsequently wired funds they have received from Hunter Biden to individuals located in Russia and Ukraine. The records also note that some of these transactions are linked to what appears to be an Eastern European prostitution or human trafficking ring. The allegations are contained in a footnote to a section of the report that details potential criminal concerns and extortion threats involving Hunter Biden and other members of the Biden family. The report also cites extensive public reporting concerning Hunter Biden's alleged involvement with prostitution services. Records on file with the committees do not directly confirm or refute these individual reports, the report says. However, they do confirm that Hunter Biden sent thousands of dollars to individuals who have either, one, been involved in transactions consistent with possible human trafficking, two, an association with the adult entertainment industry, or three, potential association with prostitution. Last year, the Post exclusively revealed that a woman who was suing Biden for paternity in Arkansas was a former stripper at a Washington, D.C. club that he frequented around the time he was dating the widow of his late brother, former Delaware Attorney General Beau Biden. In January, Arkansas Circuit Judge Holly Mayer ruled Biden was the biological and legal father of the baby born to London Alexis Roberts in August 2018. Interestingly, that also in that suit, but Hunter Biden was claiming that he had no money and he wasn't going to pay the child support. I just want to make a comment about this before I move on to the next interesting subject, is a reminder of the executive order that Trump signed very early on in his presidency, which was related to sex and human trafficking and corruption and the ability to seize the assets of people involved in corruption and human and sex trafficking, and also potentially the ability to try them in a military tribunal. I'm not sure I've got all the details exactly right there, but, you know, if you look at what this report is saying, the level of corruption and the actual link to potentially human trafficking puts the Bidens in deep trouble, and it's not looking good for Biden at the moment. And by that, I also mean Joe Biden. Now, I want to move on to the Flynn case, because there is a new filing, government supplemental filing, in support of motion to dismiss. And the hearing on this, I believe, is going to be the 29th of September. On May 7th, 2020, the United States of America, by and through its United States Attorney for the District of Columbia, submitted a motion to dismiss with prejudice the charges against the defendant Michael T. Flynn. The motion stated that the government had determined that continued prosecution of this case would not serve the interests of justice, citing, among other things, concerns with the FBI's frail and shifting justifications for its ongoing probe of Mr. Flynn, as well as the irregular procedure that preceded his interview. And it quotes a document. In subsequent discovery filings, we noted that beginning in January 2020, the United States Attorney for the Eastern District of Missouri had been conducting an ongoing review of the FBI investigation that led to charges in this case. Pursuant to that continuing review, an interview was recently conducted of the former case agent, senior analyst William Barnett, who handled the counterintelligence investigation of Mr. Flynn and was therefore assigned to the special counsel's office investigating Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. The FBI 302 of that interview is affixed hereto as Exhibit 1. And it's signed by Michael Sherwin, United States Attorney, and Kenneth Cole. Now, this 302 is very interesting reading. It's 13 pages, so I'm not going to read it in during the show, but I will share the link to this. This is a PDF that you can read through. And the interesting points are primarily that this whole investigation into Flynn and into Manafort and into others was basically a nothing burger, that they were desperately trying to find some pretext for bringing a, you know, criminal charge. And Barnett was basically saying he couldn't see anything that justified this, and that the actual motivation behind it was to get Trump. And that's a quote from him. So it really does show that the whole Crossfire Hurricane thing was a complete scam just to try and get rid of Trump. And interestingly, we've had some texts released this week. And this is an article by The Federalist. Trump was right. Explosive new FBI texts detail internal furore over handling of Crossfire Hurricane investigation. FBI agents tasked by fired former director James Comey to take down Donald Trump during and after the 2016 election were so concerned about the agency's potentially illegal behavior that they purchased liability insurance to protect themselves less than 2 weeks before Trump was inaugurated president. Previously hidden FBI text messages show. The explosive new communications and internal FBI notes were disclosed in federal court filings today from Sidney Powell, the attorney who heads Michael Flynn's legal defense team. In quotes, "We all went and purchased professional liability insurance," one agent texted on January 10, 2017. The same day, CNN leaked details that then-President-elect Trump had been briefed by Comey about the bogus Christopher Steele dossier. That briefing of Trump was used as a pretext to legitimize the debunked dossier, which was funded by the Democratic National Committee and the Clinton campaign and compiled by a foreign intelligence officer who was working for a sanctioned Russian oligarch. "Holy crap," an agent responded. "All the analysts too." "Yep," the first agent said. "All the folks at the agency as well." "Can I ask who are the most likely litigators?" an agent responded. "As far as potentially suing y'all." "Haha, who knows? I think the concern when we got it was that there was a big leak at DOJ and the New York Times, among others, was going to do a piece," the first agent said. While the names of the agents responsible for the texts are redacted, the legal filing from Powell, quoting communications from the Department of Justice, states that the latest document production included handwritten notes and texts from Peter Strzok, Andrew McCabe, Lisa Page, and FBI analysts who worked on the FBI's investigation of Flynn. Agents also said they were worried about how a new attorney general might view the actions taken against Trump during the investigation. Shortly after then-Senator Jeff Sessions was confirmed to be Trump's new attorney general, congressional Democrats, media, and Obama holdovers within DOJ immediately moved to force Sessions to recuse himself from overseeing the department's investigations against Trump. "The new AG might have some questions, then yada yada yada, we all get screwed," one agent wrote. The FBI agents also discussed how the investigation's leadership was consumed with conspiracy theories rather than evidence. I'm telling man, if this thing ever gets FOIA'd, there are going to be some tough questions asked, one agent wrote, and a great deal of those will be related to Brian having a scope way outside the boundaries of logic. Redacted is one of the worst offenders of the rabbit holes and conspiracy theories, an agent texted. This guy traveled with that guy who put down Third Guy as his visa sponsor. Third Guy lives near a Navy base, therefore... So this is now has a screenshot of these texts that were released. Several texts show that the order to close the criminal investigation against Flynn came as early as November 8, 2016, the same day as the 2016 presidential election. It was later reopened in early January of 2017. We have some loose ends to tie up, and we all need to meet to discuss what to do with each case. He said, shut down Razor, one agent texted, referring to Crossfire Razor, the FBI's internal code name for the investigation of Flynn. So glad they're closing Razor, an agent responded. The new disclosures made by the DOJ also show that the FBI used so-called national security letters, NSLs, to spy on Flynn's finances. Unlike traditional subpoenas, which require judicial review and approval before authorities can seize an innocent person's property and information, NSLs are never independently reviewed by courts. One of the agents noted in a text message that the NSLs were just being used as a pretext by FBI leadership to buy time to find dirt on Flynn after the first investigation of him yielded no derogatory information. The decision to NSL finances for Razor bought him time, one agent said, nearly 2 weeks after the initial order to shut down the anti-Flynn case. It is not known to whom the agent was referring in that text. What do we expect to get from an NSL? An agent texted on December 5, 2016. We put out traces, tripwires to community and nothing. Bingo, another FBI agent responded. So what's an NSL going to do? No content. Ha ha, this is a nightmare, an agent said. If we're working to close down the cases, I'm not sure what NSL results would do to help, one agent wrote. Exactly, that makes no sense. The explosive new text messages also show agents believe the investigation was being run by FBI officials who were in the tank for Hillary Clinton. Doing all this election research, I think some of these guys want a Clinton presidency, one agent wrote on August the 11th, shortly after the FBI opened the Crossfire Hurricane investigation against Trump. In one series of texts sent the same day as the infamous January 5th Oval Office meeting between Obama, Biden, Comey, Sally Yates and Susan Rice, one agent admits that Trump was right when he tweeted that the FBI was delaying his briefings as incoming president so they could cook up evidence against him. As the Federalist first reported last May, that January 5th meeting was the key to understanding the entire anti-Trump operation run out of Obama's FBI. The intelligence briefing on so-called Russian hacking was delayed until Friday. Perhaps more time needed to build a case, Trump tweeted on January 3rd. Very strange. As this is a pretty long article, I'm just going to jump to the bottom to kind of the conclusion. I will, of course, share the link to go in the YouTube description so you can read the whole thing. It's very interesting reading. Contrary to claims by Mueller's office that Flynn had lied about discussing financial sanctions against Russia during post-election phone calls with Russian ambassador to the US, Sergei Kislyak, declassified transcripts of these conversations confirm that Flynn spoke to Kislyak only about expulsions of Russian diplomats, and that the two men never discussed financial sanctions against Russia that had previously been levied by the Obama administration. Jensen's review of Flynn's case file also revealed handwritten notes from the FBI's top counterintelligence official that admitted a primary goal of the FBI's anti-Flynn operation was to get him to lie so we can prosecute him or get him fired. Despite the overwhelming evidence that Flynn did not lie to agents, the FBI had no legal basis to interview him, that the FBI later hid exculpatory documents from Flynn's defense team. Flynn did not discuss financial sanctions during his phone calls with Kislyak, and the FBI agents who interviewed Flynn did not believe he lied. Federal trial judge Emmett G. Sullivan has refused to dismiss the case against Flynn. Instead, Sullivan personally appointed a left-wing shadow prosecutor, whose partners represent former DOJ official Yates, to smear Flynn and attempt to continue the baseless criminal case against him. At one point last April, Sullivan even tried to order the DOJ to stop producing and publicly filing exculpatory evidence for Flynn or evidence of FBI misbehavior during its investigation of Flynn. Sullivan, who called Flynn a traitor during court proceedings and suggested that Flynn, a decorated Army combat veteran, be charged with treason, has refused to recuse himself from the case despite his obvious personal animosity towards Flynn. So I'm looking forward to the hearing, and hopefully they will dismiss this case, because it's obviously a case of panic at what Flynn can reveal. I think it might have been letter 17 that said something like, Flynn knows where the bodies are buried. And of course, he's under a gag order at the moment because of this outstanding legal case. So prayers up for Flynn, and that he be released from this as soon as possible, and that the criminals who have been responsible for this vendetta against Flynn and the absolute corruption of what the law should stand for, I hope that they are held accountable very, very soon. Talking about being held accountable, moving on to Clinton, and this is a report that Durham is now investigating the Clinton Foundation. How very interesting. And this was published September 24th. And it says, John Durham, the Connecticut U.S. attorney appointed by Attorney General William Barr to investigate the Trump-Russia collusion hoax investigation by the Obama administration and deep state operatives, is reportedly also investigating the Clinton Foundation and the government's handling of that investigation. The New York Times broke the story Thursday morning with a follow-up report by Fox News adding more details. New York Times excerpt. From the beginning, John H. Durham's inquiry into the Russian investigation has been politically charged. President Trump promoted it as certain to uncover a deep state plot against him. Attorney General William P. Barr rebuked the investigators under scrutiny, and he and Mr. Durham publicly second-guessed an independent inspector general and traveled the globe to chase down conspiracy theories. It turns out that Mr. Durham also focused attention on certain political enemies of Mr. Trump, the Clintons. Mr. Durham, the U.S. attorney in Connecticut, assigned by Mr. Barr to review the Russia inquiry, has sought documents and interviews about how federal law enforcement officials handled an investigation around the same time into allegations of political corruption at the Clinton Foundation, according to people familiar with the matter. Mr. Durham's team members have suggested to others that they are comparing the two investigations, as well as examining whether investigators in the Russia inquiry flouted laws or policies. It was not clear whether Mr. Durham's investigators were similarly looking for violations in the Clinton Foundation investigation, nor whether the comparison would be included or play a major role in the outcome of Mr. Durham's inquiry. In early 2018, Patrick C. Harris, a career prosecutor in Little Rock, issued a grand jury subpoena for foundation records. Two former law enforcement officials familiar with the investigation said. A foundation official confirmed that the charity was served with a subpoena and complied with the request for information. End excerpt. Please read the complete Times report at this link. There's a Fox News excerpt below. I'm not going to read all of it because some of it repeats what I've just read to you. In November 2017, then Attorney General Jeff Sessions directed Huber, the U.S. Attorney for Utah, and other senior prosecutors to evaluate certain issues involving the sale of Uranium One and other dealings related to the Clinton Foundation. Sessions tapped Huber after request by congressional Republicans who had been calling for the appointment of a special counsel to review the matters. Huber was also tasked with reviewing the FBI's handling of the Clinton email probe, including allegations that the Justice Department and FBI policies or procedures were not followed. It has been unclear for years the status of Huber's investigation, but another source told Fox News Thursday that Huber has faced mounting criticism from the Justice Department and White House over his progress. So far, there has only been one conviction in the Durham investigation, a guilty plea by former FBI lawyer Kevin Kleinsmith for altering an email in the bogus Carter Page investigation. Barr said earlier this month there could be more charges in the Durham probe. I'm just going to leave it there for that one. But I think we're seeing a pattern here, aren't we, of complete bias and corruption in terms of, you know, what is investigated and what isn't. And this, the Clintons, Pelosi, you name it, are all so vocal about no one is above the law. It seems like the only people that consider themselves above the law are those that are shouting the loudest. Well, I think the chickens are coming home to roost, and these people are, I'm sure, panicking like crazy with everything that's being currently revealed. And just to add to that, there's an article by Gateway Pundit again. FBI agent who uncovered Wiener laptop with Hillary's email says FBI leadership told him to erase all of his findings. And this was published on September 21st. John Robertson was an FBI agent who investigated crimes against children. This is how he stumbled upon Hillary Clinton's emails. We first reported on Robertson in August of 2018 when the mainstream media was focused on the Trump-Russia-Mueller sham investigation. John was assigned to the Anthony Weiner case, a top Democrat married to Hillary Clinton advisor Huma Abedin. During his investigation of Weiner's computer, John discovered thousands of Hillary Clinton emails and blew the whistle on the Comey, McCabe and Strzok cover-up of evidence. Yesterday, the Washington Examiner reported, "The crickets I was hearing was really making me uncomfortable because something was going to come down." Robertson said he later told Justice Department investigators, "Why isn't anybody here? Like if I'm the supervisor of any counterintelligence squad and I hear about this, I'm getting on with headquarters and saying, hey, some agent working child porn here may have Hillary Clinton emails. Get your ass on the phone, call the case agent and get a copy of that drive, because that's how it should be. And that nobody reach out to me within, like, that night. I still to this day don't understand what the hell went wrong." Robertson wrote a letter to self in late October after an October 19, 2016 meeting, during which he implored Assistant U.S. Attorney Amanda Kramer of the Southern District of New York to push FBI leadership to look at the thousands of emails he had unearthed. "I have very deep misgivings about the institutional response of the FBI to the congressional investigation into the Hillary Clinton email matter. Put simply, I don't believe the handling of the material I have by the FBI is ethically or morally right. But my lawyers advise that I simply put my SSA on notice should cover me, is that I have completed CYA, cover your ass, and I have done so," Robertson wrote. "Further, I was told by Kramer that should I whistleblow, I will be prosecuted." Robertson continued, "I possess, the FBI possesses, 20 times more emails than Comey testified to. While Comey did not know at the time about what I have, people in the FBI do now, and as far as I know, we are being silent. If I say or do nothing more, I am falling short ethically and morally. And later, I may be accused of being a Hillary Clinton hack because of the timing of all this. But if I say something, i.e. whistleblow, I will lose my reputation, my career, and risk prosecution. I will also be accused of being a Donald Trump hack. The Daily Mail reports on Robertson saying, the only advice from his bosses was to erase his office computer, which meant leaving no record of his investigations, a new book says. Charles Ortel, who's an expert on the corruption within the Clinton Foundation, believes that there were a number of Clinton Foundation emails on the Wiener laptop. Others believe that what was found on the Wiener laptop was shocking. We reported on this in August 2018 as well. In late 2016, shortly before the 2016 election on November 4th, 2016, Eric Prince, founder of Blackwater, was on Breitbart Radio and he said shocking things about Wiener's emails. I'm not going to read the rest of the article, but we know that Sidney Powell has, in a speech, talked about the necessity to investigate the Wiener laptop because of what's on it. And she's obviously referring to the Frazzle Drip video that allegedly has Hillary and Huma Abedin torturing a young girl. And of course, they don't want any of this to come out, but I think we're on the right road to full disclosure of all of this horrific criminality. I just want to go back to a couple of the letter 17 drops. 4755. This has got a screenshot of FBI chain of command for the mid-year investigation. And it's showing all the people that have been fired or removed. And under it says, it's a link again to Durham assumed parts of John Huber's Clinton Foundation review source, this time by Fox News. I'm not going to read that. It'll be similar content to what I've just been through. Tracking events, Scope exceeds illegal spy campaign. Why? Seventh floor, FBI team removed, terminated. Seventh floor is no more. Normal? What other investigations, same team, touch, alter outcome? How are other investigations bridged to illegal spy campaign? Bigger than you can imagine, and that's in all caps. There is a reason why this was leaked today. The election infection cannot stop what is coming. And that was September 24th. And then the next drop, 4756, has a question from an anon. Red October upcoming. And the response by letter 17 is, make your depth 50 feet, zero bubble. And one of the anons, I think, analysed that as meaning it was the depth at which they fire torpedoes. And then we have drop 4757, and this is a screenshot of a tweet by Representative Doug Collins. You can't hide from the truth. Durham is coming, and again, it's a link to Durham assuming parts of John Huber's Clinton Foundation review. And then it's also a screenshot of an earlier drop. Let the truth be told, political spying illegal, less than 1%, have faith in humanity. And underneath that it says, let truth be told. And again, under that, which is the actual drop, it is the only way. And then we have drop 4758. And this is a repeat of something that has been put out before. And it's like a movie poster. And it's got Hunters Become the Hunted and a picture of Trump. And it's very much red. Below the depths of the DC swamp, the hunt is on. And there's no comment under that, just the actual image. And then there's drop 4760, and this is from an anonymous, and it's a screenshot of a tweet by Technofog. The Adam Goldman New York Times report on Durham reviewing Clinton Foundation investigation. Agent/FBI manager seeks subpoena of Clinton Foundation. Top DOJ criminal division officials deny request. Did Andrew Weissman deny the subpoena? In 2016, he led the fraud section at Adam Goldman, New York Times. Any idea? And then underneath, it's got a link to the TechnoFog tweet. And it's the actual text. And then underneath that says timing. This is from letter 17. Timing can be derived from picture. Anons have always known, have faith in your research. And it's an image of an aeroplane. And the anons that did the digging into this were saying that it was a DOJ plane, DOJ FBI plane, that flew to Little Rock, Arkansas, and was seen loading boxes into it. And it's believed that this plane was loading up the evidence from the Clinton Foundation, which is based in Little Rock. So that's another hint that there's more to come out and that the investigation is pursuing in terms of the full corruption of the Clinton Foundation. In drop 4762 says, not long now. And then the next one is actually a link to TechnoFog again, and it's extracts from the text that I've just covered. So glad they're closing Razor. Disagreement with getting Flynn financials. We didn't find anything. This investigation is a nightmare. After Obama White House meeting, Razor is going to stay open. And underneath it says, these people are stupid. And it says, pan, dem, ick, dem, panic. And the next one, 4764, Midnight Riders Ride, Information Warfare. It's obviously encouraging everybody to dig up this information and put it out there in the public domain. And then we have 4767, Some Will Take the Easy Path and Exit Early. And I don't know if this is a reference to the switcheroo, as X22 report puts it, of swapping out Joe Biden, because he's obviously incapable of being a president, or whether it's actually what they call suicide weekend, where people will, take a way out that doesn't involve them going through the criminal process and being exposed for all their crimes. And the next one, 4768, is Judgment is Coming. And then we have a tweet by James Comey, which was back in December 2019, with a link to a Washington Post op-ed written by James Comey. The truth is finally out. The FBI fulfilled its mission, which is obviously not what we're finding with all this disclosure. And underneath that, it says, worth remembering. Think what you now know. Then we have 4771. And this is a screenshot of an article by NBC News. QAnon leaders look to rebrand after tech crackdowns. And we know that anyone following Letter 17 has been censored and even groups removed. And underneath it, there is an image showing a huge cruise ship, and above it, it's got Obamagate and an arrow pointing down. And then below that, there's a little dinghy and Watergate in a red arrow. And it says underneath, over the target. So obviously, they're fighting back over this army of citizen journalists who are exposing the truth. And then the last drop that was put out, this was September 25th, 4772. Never bring an arrow, in square brackets, in a quiver, to a LOSBR missile flight. And LOSBR stands for Line of Sight Beam Riding. And it's directing a missile to its target by means of radar or a laser beam. And so this is indicating that there is going to be definitely a mother of all bombs coming. Now, this reference to arrows in a quiver is related to an interview that Pelosi did, and where she was talking about, you know, they had plenty of arrows in their quiver to go against Trump and his intention to confirm a new Supreme Court judge to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And interestingly, in the middle of that interview, she had a complete glitch and said good morning, Sunday morning. And nobody could understand why on earth she'd kind of glitched, unless she's a clone. But this letter 17 drop is really referencing the threat that Pelosi put out, and she was threatening to impeach Trump at one point if he went ahead and went for the vote for the new Supreme Court justice. And then at the end of the week, she actually backtracked and said, oh, it wasn't worth it, which was interesting. But I think it's because she doesn't stand a cat in hell's chance of winning something like that. Well, judgment is coming. That's the overriding theme, I think. I wish I had time to share more with you. Biden's in his basement. He's just been called out for making a horrible remark back in 2018 to the US military. I think that's probably been timed to undermine his criticism and that article by The Atlantic that basically smeared Trump. But lots, lots more, I'm sure, is coming in the next few weeks. We're so close to the election now. So thank you very much for listening. I hope you found the information useful. And I hope you'll join me next week for another Cosmic Creating show. And if you want to find out more about what I do, go to the successalchemist.net and the webalchemist.net. And I'd like to thank Nancy, as always, for producing the show. And take care, be safe, and I'll see you next week for another exciting edition. Bye for now.
You have been listening to the Cosmic Creating Radio Show with Jan Shaw, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio.
Live long and prosper.